Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Jordan Royburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, you just released a video that outlined three pretty important factors when it comes to the precious metals, more focused on gold after this run higher to 1900 and this, in a way, leveling out around 1900 for gold. I know it's only $100 higher than that $1,800 level we've been talking about for the last year and a half, but it is pretty important to be up near this 1900, especially closing in on the end of the month, which would be one of the strongest monthly closes in quite a while. One aspect that you highlighted in that video is how gold is performing against foreign currencies. And you know what? Gold is, I think, just made a new all-time high against foreign currencies, or at least is very close to that. Shows the uptrend that gold has against a wide range of currencies. Break down this key aspect for us, please.
Well, hey, Corey, I think gold has made a new all-time high against the yen, but against the entire dollar basket, which I like to call foreign currencies, that chart is 3 to 4% away from a new all-time high. And going back, even if you go back to the 90s, gold against foreign currencies has been a really good leading indicator for gold, especially in the last 20 years. Usually gold against foreign currencies is the first to have a major breakout. It's the first to make a higher high, first to make a new all-time high. And you know that when that has happened in the past, it can lead gold by as much as a year, or you know, maybe it's 3 or 6 months. So what we really want to see is we want to see that chart make a new all-time high. So it's about, I don't know, 3.5, 3.7%, something like that, for making a new all-time high. So there's a strong positive divergence in that chart already. But what really matters is if and when it can make a new all-time high. That would be really significant. And that just shows you that this gold move higher is really unrelated to the dollar weakness. And when you have a real bull market, you know, gold is going up in all terms. It's going up against all currencies. It's going up against the stock market, et cetera, et cetera. That's a real bull market. You know, when gold is just going up primarily and only because the dollar is going down, that's a dollar bear market. That's not a gold bull market. So that's why it's important to watch gold against foreign currencies.
Yeah, Jordan, that's a great point. Sometimes people get dollar myopic and they just only look at gold in dollar terms and think everything is based on just the dollar versus gold, which we know is not really the case. But when you see gold trending higher against all other currencies, and as you mentioned, recently the precious metals have been trending higher basis these general stock markets in the U.S., the general equities, which is another good sign. We've talked a lot on these interviews over the last couple months about the importance of gold getting above 1900 on a monthly close, and even preferably on a quarterly close. We'll know in a week if that's the case, but you had mentioned before we started recording that on the daily chart, there is still some overhead resistance around the 1920, 1921 area. That was the peak last year, and that was also 1921, the all-time high from 2011. So do you think that could still crimp things in the short term, even though it would be encouraging to see gold over 1900 on a closing basis for the month?
Well, it's possible. I mean, a bearish outcome, at least in the very short term here, you could see gold, I mean, I think it's probably test 1910 today. There's some resistance. In that kind of scenario, you would see gold in the next couple days trade up to 1920, and then it starts selling off, and then it closes the month down below 1900. So that's one possible way that this short-term burst could end. And that's why it's important to look at weekly, monthly, and even quarterly charts, because the monthly is really, I mean, that's the real test. Yes, gold is trading above 1900 right now. I'm sure there's people out there yelling breakout, as they always are. But, you know, that can be reversed next week at the end of the month if gold closes below 1900. So that's how to look at those different timeframes.
Well, the last time gold closed above 1900 on a monthly chart was back in May, and then the next month it immediately dropped and closed down to 1771. So we have been here before after a spike higher. Why do you think this environment's so different, Jordan, rather than what we have seen, unfortunately, in the gold market is any spikes being sold pretty quickly?
Well, I mean, one thing is just time. I mean, the market, the top that it put in the summer of 2020 in this cup and handle pattern, I mean, it needed time. I mean, historically, that kind of setup, you weren't going to have the market only correct for 6 or 9 months or a year, and another, you know, raging bull move to the upside would follow. I mean, you clearly needed, I mean, at least a year, year and a half for that to happen. And, you know, now we're about a year and a half or maybe plus 1 month, and markets just need time to reach an equilibrium, you know, to clean out the speculators. So time is a big part of that. And also, I would say, you know, before I get to fundamentals, you know, technically we pointed out, you know, gold against foreign currencies is strong, you know, gold against the stock market now. You know, that's another thing I'm looking at, you know, that ratio, you want to see if it can hold above the 200-day moving average. That ratio, I mean, it looks to have put in a bottom. It's trending pretty nicely. But if we get a rebound in the stock market and gold cools off, you know, we want to see that ratio hold above the 200-day moving average. But in any event, that's much stronger than it was last May. And, you know, fundamentally, last May, real interest rates had bottomed a couple months before. So real interest rates were not plummeting to the downside. And fundamentally, here and now, I think the difference is there's concerns about economic growth and stagflation, whereas at that time, the economic numbers were strong. There was optimism. I mean, people kind of knew that it would fade because a lot of it was artificial, but still the economy now, I mean, now there's real concerns about there being a recession that could start in the second half of this year. I mean, the yield curve, I mean, that's been diving or flattening aggressively towards zero. So these are all, there isn't any one or two obvious things. There's just multiple small things that I think are adding up. And that explains why the precious metals sector, you know, gold specifically, is in much better position now compared to that time.
Jordan, we've also been discussing this longer term, about 10-year chart, maybe 11 years at this point, on the larger cup and handle, starting at the last all-time high in 2011, going to the peak of 2020. And then we've been in a corrective move since August of 2020 that was forming the handle. Do you think this new move higher in gold, if it's able to sustain itself, could be the resolution of that handle and we're finally now breaking to the upside? And if so, where do you see it heading on the larger picture?
Yeah, I mean, this, and that's why I'm watching, you know, the three things that I mentioned to offer confirmation of a real breakout. And that's where the monthly and quarterly charts really come in. You can't make that call on a daily or a weekly chart unless they just blow through the resistance levels. But even, I mean, in that case, you know, if we saw gold close next week at, you know, 1940 or 1950, that would be such a strong close on the monthly chart that it would tell you that, you know, this is a clear breakout. Yes, gold can pull back over, you know, a certain number of days and weeks, but, you know, that kind of close on the monthly chart is, you know, arguing that the market should steadily move to the upside, you know, without a sustained correction in between. So, I mean, if we do take out 1900 convincingly, I would say yes. I mean, it's the start of that move. And I mean, this is a really, really bullish setup. I mean, we've already said that numerous times, but you have a, you know, 11-year base now. The cup and handle pattern is one of the most bullish patterns you can have. And, you know, historically, I wrote an article about this, but there's only a couple other cup and handle patterns out there. And, you know, they all hit the measured upside target. And then they all hit the, what I call the log target, where you're just looking at the percent depth of the cup and then adding the percent move to the top. That gives, depending on how you measure it, that puts gold at anywhere from 3750 to 4100. And in all of the cup and handles that I looked at historically, in gold and in major markets, they all hit that percent target no more than a year after they hit the measured upside target. So that history would say if gold hits 3000, it could hit that 37 to 41, you know, roughly a year after that. So, I mean, that tells me that, you know, gold, looking at the cup and handle, I mean, 3000, that's an obvious strong target. But based on that history, I mean, we could see gold hit around 4000, I think, 2 to 2.5 years after it breaks 1900. So in this type of pattern, and we look at the history and these patterns, you know, not only does the market, it hits the measured upside target, then it hits the percent target after that, and then it's even carried beyond that. So, I mean, this type of pattern for gold is going to lead to 5, 6, 7,000 eventually, but, you know, there could be a bear market or sharp correction in there before we get to that eventually. But, I mean, the important point I want to make here and now is that, you know, I think this pattern can get us to 4,000 in the next 2 to 3 years after we make that breakout above 1900. And there's probably not going to be a significant correction in between.
All right. Well, Jordan, that is quite optimistic, quite bullish for the market there. We just need, it sounds like, a couple more breakouts here. What about the stocks, though? Because GDX, it's been doing fairly well. But if you compare, again, going back to that high that we had in gold in May of last year when gold reached that 1900, the stocks or GDX is 10%, 11% lower than where it was back the last time gold was at 1900 or closing the month at 1900. Again, we've talked a lot about it, just how the gold stocks have underperformed. What are you seeing in that GDX chart? Any encouraging signs here like that gold chart?
Well, one encouraging sign, I would say, first, is it's broken above the 200-day moving average pretty convincingly. So that's important. And you also have some resistance. You're looking at last summer, kind of in the 34 area, and then you had the November peak. So GDX is now trading above those levels, so that's significant. And also GDX is outperforming the stock market as the stock market has rolled over and has been falling. So that's a good sign. But I really, we didn't touch on this earlier, but I'm really watching for a breadth thrust in GDX. And essentially, you know, breadth is a measure of participation. So it, when I'm looking at the advanced decline line and how it performs on a rolling, you know, 20, 10, 15 day basis, when you look at a chart of that, you go back 5 or 7 years, you can see these spikes in the chart, which signal what I term a breadth thrust. And so essentially that's when you get very strong participation over a period of like 10 to 15 days. It's like, it can be sudden, but it's very strong. You know, it usually comes a little bit after a market has bottomed and then the market kind of shoots up. So that's something that, you know, if GDX were to, you know, finish this week at, you know, let's say 36, it could extend these gains. We might have a breadth thrust. So that's something that I'm watching over the coming days. If we can really extend the gains that we've already made, that could be a signal, a confirming signal that we're starting a bull move in GDX.
Yeah, it would be nice to see the miners participate a little bit more and just show that strength and confirm the move. One other thing we like to see moving when precious metals break out is silver outperforming gold. Now, recently, the last couple of days into last week, silver has been outperforming gold, but it's a lot different chart than gold, and it hasn't done as well. What's your take on silver, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, the chart looks a lot worse, but you can't always rely on looks. That can get you in trouble. And just what I mean by that is silver is still, compared to gold stocks and gold, I mean, it's well below the November high, which I think is around 25. So if we're looking at weekly and monthly charts of silver, I think 25, 26, there's some pretty significant resistance there. At least, I mean, daily and weekly charts, you can see it around 25. That's really significant resistance. So, I mean, if gold is unable to make this monthly breakout in the next month or two, then silver would remain below that $25 resistance. And, you know, fundamentally, the weaker stock market, the fears of stagflation, the fears of growth, that favors gold more than silver. So that, to me, and we see this quite often in these bull markets, gold usually leads silver. You know, it doesn't happen that often when silver is the one that leads gold. So I tend to think that silver is not really going to get going until, you know, we have this confirmation that we're in a new bull move. You know, gold has broken past 1900. When that happens, then you're going to see more money move into silver. But what worries me is if things calm down in Ukraine, gold can't break above 1900 this month or next month. You know, we have a correction or it goes sideways for several months. That type of situation, you know, we might see silver fall back to 22 again, perhaps. But I mean, it's interesting because the chart's weak, but you can also make the case, hey, silver has put in a pretty strong bottom because it's held 21 and a half, 22 so many times. So it's hard for me to be definitive, but I will say, you know, these are the times when I really like looking at silver because we can sniff that, you know, gold is close to making that monthly close above 1900. You know, we're looking at these other factors that are close to giving us confirmation that a new bull move has started. Because when we get that confirmation, when gold has broken above 1900, you know, that's the time when silver makes a lot of sense, just because of the first thing I said, that gold usually leads. And so when gold takes out that first important resistance level, everyone's going to start looking for silver. So that's what makes silver interesting. And also, it's good in a way because you can wait for gold to give you the confirmation. Silver hasn't moved yet. You know that a bull move is starting. Then you can, you know, put more capital in silver.
All right, Jordan, really appreciate these updates and very encouraging to hear just how much more bullish this setup is for gold especially. But who knows, silver and the gold stocks, they do have the potential to also play some catch up here. But we'd still need to get to the end of this month. And then next month, boy, oh boy, there's going to be a lot going on in March. And we'll come to that quarterly close. So still around 1900 would be very good for the sector. Jordan, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week.